Good to see everybody. Good afternoon. Welcome. Although we just mentioned that the share with the program's been going for over 2 years, 2.5 years, but the food is still good. It's not stale. still warm. So we'll enjoy the food and enjoy the afternoon together. Now the although the topic sounds like a little bit obscure, I do want to bring it down to earth right away and actually develop some practical concepts that are meaningful to us. I do want to mention the reason why I chose this topic initially. It did come up in Daf Yomi recently, and this week's parsha starts with the halacha of machatzis hashekel. We read about this about 2-3 weeks ago in the Torah, right? In the Parsha Shkolim. Parsha Shkolim is right before the month of Adar begins, or as it begins on Shabbos, we take out a second sefer Torah and we read from the beginning of Parsha Kitisa, which is as we're speaking right now. There's a half a shekel that has to be given every year. That's it was done one time when they started the collection for the Mishkan, for the tabernacle, and it was an annual mitzvah that had to be continued. The pasuk says to collect this from every man from 20 to 60 years old. I'm sorry, from 20 years and up. There's a good reason I made that. I got confused there for a second. From 20 years and up, pasuk says, Kol ha'over al hapsukim, anyone who passes by the count, what that means is subject to debate in itself, passing over the count, mi ben esrim shana v'mala yitein trumas Hashem. The 20 and above should give this gift. Now, if it's a mitzvah, somebody from 13 and not should be giving this. We know ladies are, come back to mitzvah 12 and men is 13, young men. And suddenly we find this halacha to give a chatzis shekel, all of a sudden the 20 years and above. Why only 20? What happened there? They don't have money. Well, I'll tell you the truth, that doesn't help. At Matanos Zav Yonim last week, children beginning 13, they had to give, and that they had money. Well, they had to borrow this bas mitzvah, or, you know, their parents have to give them money, say it's yours. So, that's a good excuse, but it doesn't get too far. Okay? We would come up with a solution for that one. So that's an interesting thing to note right away. Now, there are actually two psukim here which talk about giving money. Beginning of Parashat Kitisa. We just read this morning. It's Thursday morning. We actually read this in the Torah this morning. One pasuk is Zeyidnu Kol Ha'uvel Apkudim. This shall be given Machatis HaShekel. Doesn't say that's pasuk Yud Gimel. Does not say an age. This shall be given a Machatis HaShekel. The next pasuk says Kol Ha'uvel Apkudim Yibenesim Shana V'mal Yitin Truma Hashem. Another truma. This should be given from age 20. So one pasuk says, give a machatis shekel. The next pasuk says, give machatis shekel from 20 and above. And it says the word truma in each pasuk. There were not only two donations that were made. This is a tremendous campaign that Moshe Rabbeinu had over here. It was very successful too, by the way. Tremendous. They had to shut it down in 3 days. You know that? The campaign of Moshe Rabbeinu was so successful, they had to send out a notice, stop bringing. They really did. Stay tuned to the parsha. It was a very successful campaign. That's right. He set the bar very high for everybody. We're still trying. Okay. There were actually three things that were collected. One was a machatis shekel from every person from 20 and above. And that went to, it was melted down and it was made into the foundation pegs for the Mishkan. The boards were put into sockets, silver sockets. And the Torah actually shows 603,550 people, and you how much that weighs per coin, and it comes out exactly where, how much the silver weighed out exactly. And they had a few extra for some hooks and for some other things. There was no mistake over there. So one of the collections was actual silver, which was used in the construction of the Mishkan. There was another collection, and this went to a fund to pay for the communal korbanos. That's what we commemorate every year, by the way. Because that one with the Adonim, with the sockets, that was a one-shot deal. It was done, they didn't have to do it every year. But one thing that was set into motion for every year, and that's what we read about in the Torah 2 weeks ago, Machzis HaShekel, and there's a Masechet Shkolim of Mishnayos we're going to talk about in a second. And that was an annual collection, and that money went into a fund to pay for the communal components. In other words, it was a sheep in the morning, a sheep in the afternoon, every day, carbon tamid. We daven Shachris Minchah because of that. And there was also carbon musaf, occasion, yontif, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh. Those carbonists, those animals, those sacrifices were bought with communal funds. Well, everybody in Klai Israel had a part in that because everybody contributed. They have shekels, not that much per person, but it added up. And it was enough to pay for not only the carbonists, but the ketores and the shaman for the menorah. All of the materials and the resources they needed in the Mishkan were bought from these funds. By the way, it had to be renewed every year. Once the year was over, all the money was left over was reappropriated somehow, and there's a whole discussion in the Gemara how they did that, and they knew brand new funds. The fiscal year had a brand new fund. They cleared out the account and started fresh. And everyone had 1 month notice to get their money in. The tick season still is like that. Chodesh Adar was the 1 month. That's why we start reading this. Chodesh Adar, we give people 30 days to get it in. Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they started with the new funds. That was given. Now, which one was from age 20? So the Mishnah says in Shkolim, I think it was Masechta Shkolim, there's a whole Masechta on giving coins. That's where I get the Pesachim, it's the Seder Moed. It says, Levim, Yisraelim, Gerim, Abanim, Shechorim. Almost every member of Klal Yisrael has to participate. Avolon Nashim, women don't have to. They're part of a family with their husband. Avarim and Ketanim, children don't have to participate. Ketanim are exempt from giving the Machatis HaShekel. You look at Rabbeinu Obadiah from Brit Denoro, and what does he say? From 20 and below is called a katan. Below 20 is a katan. In this Mishnah, a katan is pater. So the Rabbi Brit Denoro, he says it means up to age 20, it's called a katan in your pater. And it's brought down the halacha for Pesach, for Purim, and we just get Machatis HaShekel. Up to age 20, you don't have to give Machatis HaShekel, the dollar and a half we gave. But once a father starts giving for his child, he should give it, should not stop. If he decides to give earlier, he's allowed to. This is to go start tzedakah anyway this year, but it's a commemoration. But up to age 20 really is exempt, and it corresponds to this. Now, the Tosas Yom Tov on the Mishnah argues, and he says it's not honest. It's not true up to age 20. Katan means like it means throughout. All the halacha means up to 13. It says here only a minor is exempt. So the Rabbi Bittner says from age 20 because that corresponds to the halacha machatis we find in the Torah. But the Rabbi tells the young guy, he says no, it's age 13. And he says it depends on the two psukim we just read. Because one pasuk says, kol ha'orel ha'pkudim, machatis ha'chel. The other one says, mi benashim shanal. There's another pasuk. It both says a truma. Question is, which one is talking about the Adonim and which one is talking about the Machatis HaShekel for the communal funds, for the annual funds? That's Machlokas, how they learn the Psukim, depending on whether Machatis HaShekel is a cutoff at 13 or cutoff is at age 20. Now, we got out to the topic, why is it? We're wondering, why is age 20 a cutoff for the Machatis HaShekel? I'm going to introduce you to a couple of places where I think we're familiar with these, but it's fascinating to go through them and to put them all together. You're going to develop a picture, and we'll develop a little bit of approach towards this. I think one of the most famous ones is Sarah Imenu, and Parashas Chayesara. The Parashas Chayesara begins with, unfortunately, the life of Sarah, but it was actually her death. Right after Akedat Yitzchak, it says she lived 100 years and 20 years and 7 years. Me'a Shana, Ve'asim Shana, Ve'sheva Shanim. It says Shana, 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 100 years, 20 years and 7 years. It says 127 years, as I should have said the word Shana only once. It says a few times. So based upon that, they're following, among other drashas, we learn that when Sarah was 100, she was without sin, just like when she was 20. And I'll read you the Rashi marked over here. I like to have eye contact and talk rather than to read, but on occasion you want to hear the source inside. Bas kuf kibas chayz chaf lechet. When she was 100, she was just like when she was 20 as far as sin. Ma bas chav lo chata. How do we know when she was up to 20 she had not sinned? Shaharei eina bas onshin. Because she's not eligible for punishment up until age 20. He makes it state as a fact, just a matter of fact, up to age 20 a person is not punishable. You don't deserve any punishments up to age 20. That's what he mentions. And this is what we learn from Sarah Imenu. One more. Let's advance to Sefer Bamidbar, Parshas Shlach, when the spies came back after their 40-day sojourn, this tragic mission, and they came back with the bad news that Israel, they can't conquer it because the nations are too strong, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't do this for us. The people bought into that, unfortunately, we're still suffering it from to this day. So, God told Moshe the bad news. That's it. For 40 years, they're going to be marching around in the desert, and everyone, every man from age 20 to 60 will perish. From 20 to 60 will perish. So, if they're responsible at age 13 for being Shabbat Shabbos, for eating kosher, putting on tefillin, for keeping up the aim, if we know that the halacha is that a young man or young lady is bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, is responsible for what they do, so they're also responsible for lashon hara and accepting, you know, and problems in emuna and hashkafa. So why is it that the 13-year-olds from 15 to 20 or 12 to 20, why did they get off the? They marched there just so like nothing happened, right? When it was all over, they survived it. Why were they not held responsible? Again, we see age 20 is a cutoff. So apparently, we could use the same concept that Rashi just introduced. The 20, up to age 20, are not responsible. They can't be punished because they were responsible for going along with it, or maybe they. But even though age 13 is responsible, bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah is responsible, but apparently, I'm just suggesting, well, we do find another example where age 20 is a cutoff. I'm already going to plant in your minds another twist, which we'll come back to hopefully later. If we're noticing that up to age 20 was pardoned, let's call it, because at that point they were responsible, they were not responsible for their actions. So what happened at age 60? And at 60 that now all of a sudden they're not responsible either? I mean, they don't become less responsible. Most of us at age, you know, approaching age 60 become more responsible in our life than ever before. I remember talking to someone when your children, Baruch Hashem, start getting married, you're not paying tuitions anymore. That's not true. You just pay it to someone else. You get to them rather than to the schools. Fortunately, when you apply for scholarships, unless you have the sob letter, you're out to write. You're just telling about how you're supporting your children who are married, and they basically, it's my experience is they accept that the money's actually being spent for a good cause, and they don't say. Anyway, but age 60 is not a point where a person becomes less responsible. What happens in the Midor Midbar? If 20 is a cutoff because you're pardoned up to then, if that suggestion is going to be consistent, so what happens at age 60? I'm already pointing that out as an observation. Now I want to share with you a fascinating Gemara. I told you in Daf Yomi, the Sefer Shabbos is about to be completed in Daf Yomi next week. But a couple of weeks ago, we had a Gemara Daf Pei Tes. Now, there's a pasuk in Yeshayahu, and the pasuk generally says that there'll be a time in the future when the Jewish people will cry out, we've gone to Avraham Avinu, he hasn't helped us, Yaakov won't help us, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're there for us. Thank you so much. We need you. Something to that effect. That's what the pasuk says. Now the Ki'ata Avinu, Ki Avram Lo Yadanu, Yisrael Lo Yakirenu, Ata Hashem Avinu, Goaleinu Me'olam Shimcha, Ve'olam Shimcha, Shemecha. So we see, you're our father. Avram doesn't know us. Yisrael means Yaakov Avinu has not recognized us. We need you. So pasuk, what is this pasuk referring to? So the point will be, the Gemara is a beautiful story. I'm going to share it with you now. The time will come when the Jews, there'll be an issue that they have sinned. And Kadosh Baruch Hu will say, they need someone to defend them. So they'll go to Avraham Avinu. I mean, Avraham Avinu, who's going to daven for us? Not our father, not our patriarch. He davened even for Sodom. I mean, that didn't stop him. He sees the best in everything. So Avraham will say, as the Gemara says, at that time, I'm not sure what this discussion was, but Avram will say, you know what? It's a Kiddush Hashem if people actually have to have their consequences for their actions. If they get punished, let there be a Kiddush Hashem. If they suffer, let them suffer. They've sinned, and they should learn their consequences. They shouldn't get away with it. Thanks a lot. So then he'll go to Yaakov Avinu. Say, Yaakov, do you have anything to say for Klal Yisrael? They're in trouble. And again, Yaakov will have the same response. Yimachu Hashimcha, it'll be a Kiddush Hashem. You know what? It's terrible. Unfortunately, they have to suffer. But you know what? If they sin, they deserve it. It's appropriate. If that was to give us consequences, then that should be. So then I'll go to Yitzhak Avinu, and I'll say, Yitzhak, what do you have to say? Okay. So Yitzchak says, what do you mean my sons have sinned? My sons. My sons are not your sons? Yitzchak starts like that. He says, you said, B'ni B'chori Yisrael. Before the ego. You know, you said, B'ni B'chori Yisrael. Now, when they said, the Gemara actually said, when they said, Nasa V'nishma, you embraced them and you said, you're my children, you're my son. B'ni Klai Yisrael is this, we are going to cut it off as children. So first thing Yitzchak says is, don't say, they're my child. They're yours also, your son. Before I should point out, the B'ni B'chori Yisrael was actually called the Paro, and how they actually say that. Before Nasa V'nishma of the Maisa, Kodesh Baruch Hu established that relationship. And if a king cannot pardon a subject, because the king has to be careful on his kavod, and he can't be merciful, can't be perceived as being too merciful, but a father definitely can do so. So Yitzchak Avinu immediately wants to establish the relationship that there's not only Malkeinu, it's Avinu Malkeinu, and you are considered our father. So that's the first thing Yitzchak says. Now, next thing. Here's Yitzchak's argument. How long does a person live? Standard lifeline, give or take, 70 years. Baruch Hashem, people live until people are 120. But we're starting with the number 70. So Yitzchak Avinu says, I wrote this down because I don't want to miss any details on this, right? So, first of all, Yitzchak says, knock out the first 20. Because the first 20, you're not Baruch Hashem. So it's anything they do till 20 doesn't count. Okay, so we're down to 50 years. We had 70, but the first 20 don't count. Don't worry about any averas over there. Any sins they may have done, don't count. So we're down to 50. Now, out of the 50, we have to take another 25 off. Deep discounts. Why? Because during the person's lifetime, he sleeps. Sleeping is half. I didn't notice it's half exactly. It's a lot of sleep. But nighttime is half the time. Then, of course, you may ask the question, people do sin at night also. Possible. But he says, usually at nighttime it's dark, it's dismal, our amunah is a little bit, challenged. It represents times where a person's confused and things are not so focused. There's a good excuse. So if a person's not outright sleeping, he's the time when he's down and out. This is an argument. I'm not sure whether this would stand in the Beis Din, but he is talking about Baruch Hu. The first 20 is out, we're down to 50. Another 25 is out because it's nighttime. So we're down to how many years now? 25. Out of the 25, we take another half. Because a person spends about half of each day davening, eating, and going to the bathroom. What it says. Okay. Person sleeps 12 hours, he davens. So he's down to now 12 and a half years. So he said, Yitzchak says, look, 12 and a half years. You take half, I'll take half. Can you take six and a half, six and a quarter? Can you handle it? That's not so terrible, out of 70 years. So, now what's the half and half? It's kind of funny. No, I said, Ben, I'm the chavero. I'll take care of that. I'll go to the people. I'll direct them, how to deal with it. You said, Ben, I'm the makom. I can't handle that. So that's up to you. He says, so if you're going to do the whole 12 and a half, fine. If you're going to do half and half, then I'll take half. So that was his argument. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu apparently will accept this because the Gemara has a happy ending there. So out of the 12 and a half, you take half. I'll take half, or else maybe you do the whole thing. Okay. That's the argument in that Gemara. Pei Tes Amud Beis, 89b and Shabbos. Now, there are a lot of questions to be asked about the Gemara. If we had a Gemara share, we would focus on the details of the Gemara here. But one thing you do see right off the top is that Yitzchak Avinu uses this concept. And Yitzchak HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly, the first 20 years don't count. But up to 20 years, any sins he did don't count. So don't worry about it. We're down to 50, and then we go to 25, 12 and a half, and 6 and a quarter. Okay. So we've seen already here a pattern. We started with Machatis HaShekel. And we said that apparently the mitzvah only starts at age 20. Chachapra Nafsho Seichem. Perhaps there's no need for, there's no obligation to participate up to age 20. There's no responsibility for that. Next thing we had is the Dor HaSari Meinu. And we saw there Rashi says she's not Bas Onshin till 20. That's why 100 is like 20. And then we saw the Dor HaMidbar for 20 years old. They had a pardon. And they survived the ordeal of the desert, even though they were above Bar Mitzvah when the Meraglim came back. And they went for the story just like everybody else. But up to age 20, there's no responsibility. It's a pardon. We have a pattern developing over here. Okay, I'm going to begin deciphering this. The portion point out that certainly, Ben Anam in a basic shamatzah in court down here on earth, we start at age 13 or age 12. There's no question about it. And when the Gemara says 20, means maybe up in Shemayim, Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he has to intervene and to punish, then he does not do that until age 20. So, So first of all, Beis Din Shamata definitely gets involved. Now, why should Beis Din down here on earth be more severe than Hashem? Hashem's willing to let it slide. So it could be the following, that it's because of our limitations. We cannot read into more than what we see. If we see there's a problem, we deal with it. Now, for example, kares for severe sins, eating in Yom Kippur, for incest and other similar sexual crimes. There are many examples of achayv kares, among the most severe punishment there is. It's possible for a person to deserve that without any witnesses and without being warned. Now, any Beis Din, any court down here on earth, if the Beis Din doesn't have adequate witnesses, and they cross-examine them, they go through every detail, until they're convinced and then they have the person was warned properly, they can't do a thing. But up in Shemayim, the person could be all by himself and eat in Yom Kippur, for example, and he's chayav kares, and he'll get it. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need any support information to know whether the person did it on purpose or not. If the person does it on purpose, Hashem knows about that. He doesn't have to have any support information to correlate it. You know, so if they're witnesses or not, God knows if the person did it on purpose. On the other hand, he also knows when the person does tshuva. Right? So if a person, Chas v'Shalom, did something who's chayav kares, and for a moment he really sincerely does tshuva, he is pardoned. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do that because he knows the person did tshuva in his heart. You know, the famous example of a person, like say a murderer or some embezzler, and the guy escapes. And we find out later, 20 years later, he became the mayor of Seattle or something like this, right? And he has stellar, you know, career for the last 20 years. I don't know if any of us from the West Coast, I apologize, I just gave an example. But there are cases, we hear about this sometimes. Someone, they showed up and they found him, and the guy was mobbish, a big tzaddik, he was a wonderful community leader. So now the question is, but wait a second, but he did the crime, got to do the time. But should we pardon him or not? What's the answer? I'll tell you in Beis Din what they do. You did the crime, you do the time. Beis Din has to follow up on it. There's no statute of limitations in terms of that. If the person was determined to be guilty and he ran away, whenever we find him, he has to pay the price. In effect, because you know why? If he did tshuva or not, I can't tell the difference. That's Beis Din is not. They can't do it, and you can't hold them responsible to do that, and you can't do that to the Beis Din. That's not within our ability to read through a person's mind. He could cry and kick as much as he wants. I'm sorry. We say, we believe what you're saying. I don't know what you mean, though. We can only do what we can do. So Beis Din, our strength is that once we have evidence, we follow through. If we don't have evidence, then we just don't do things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is different, though. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he knows what's going on. The person is the Shuba. So Kares, to a certain extent, is actually more lenient than even got Malkos, for example. Because here, Beis Din Shamata, when the person's chayiv, we have to implement it. But the worst punishment possible, Kares, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could release the person on a split second if he does Shuba, because he knows how sincere his Shuba is. Okay. So, the question is the following. What does it mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not punish a person until age 20? So, we have the following approaches among the Mepharshim. The Chasam Sofer says it's not necessarily literal because the world would be hefker. It'd be for grabs. If a person knows, you know, 20 next week, this is my last chance to go do all these sins, so then the world would be crazy. So, it doesn't mean that a person is exempt and pardoned and it's off the record. It means it's on the record. Hashem will wait, however, till he's 20 to see, because he has to have the experience, and we want the person to be more mature to realize the consequence of what he's done. So it's on the record. Now, if the person, once he's 20, then he regrets it. So there was a period, for example, it's almost like we're waiting in time to see, to give the person a chance to come to his full maturity and understanding. And at age 20, it's because that he had a chance to reflect upon those things he did. Now, they've been on the record and they're waiting, and they're pending, so to say. That's how the Chasam Sofer says. It's pending till 20. It doesn't mean he's exempt and removed from the record. But it's pending. And at age 20, then, if he continues on that way, then he could be retroactively, could be held responsible. But if he does the tshuva, then even on things which he hadn't done tshuva until then, it's off the hook. I'll tell you just quickly that Rabbi Yerucham Pitter Shlita, he's a mashkiach at the yeshiva in Long Beach in New York. Some of my sons have gone there. So I've gotten to know him very well. He's a world-class mashkiach, I think called philosopher, and he developed an approach when a boy is coming of age and he got engaged, he's about to get married, so he meets with him, he consults with him, he trains him And he has an approach which is, he can almost, you know, copyright this thing. I don't know. So the boys in yeshiva always were eager to meet with him, and they still are. It happened, the word got out, and other boys, well, the yeshiva has also started asking, can I meet with the mashpiach, even though you don't know me, but I understand you're, for shalom bayis, understanding what it means to get married for a young boy. He actually has a very, polished approach, and he gets to know the boy, and then he's also there for him, as time goes on, there's the consultant, he's available. He now has a very well-developed system, and he's, if during the season, after Sfira, you can't get him. You have to call him weeks and weeks ahead of time and schedule where and when you can meet with him. So, one of the things I understood that he also had, not only a chasen shmuz, right, but for several hours. Anyone who knows about this should look into it or check into it if you want to recommend it, because it's a very fine thing for a young man to know these things before he gets married. So the things like the perspectives he presents. He also, my understanding is, he had a Ben Esrim shmuz. Not only a chasen shmuz when a boy's getting married, but when a boy's turning 20, there's also a shmuz that he used to be able to give to him. And what it means now that you're finally mechayev, responsible for your reactions. So Rabbi Filler was, my thing. So he was in town about a month ago, and I saw him. So I asked him, my son, Baruch Hashem, I have a son who just this past month turned 20. It's also probably one of the reasons I was thinking about this a little bit more. So I went to turn 20. So I asked Rabbi Filler, I said, my son's in yeshiva, are you going to be giving him Ben Esrim shmuz? So he held back the laughter. And he said to me, no, we don't do that. He says, we don't do that. I don't know, we don't do it anymore. We don't do it. Maybe you misunderstand. No, we don't do that. He says, in other words, the concept is not really carved in stone. So up to 20, nothing happens. After 20, everything happens. It's not such a line of demarcation which is so firm that they mark the occasion and note it. They basically let it go. It's almost overdone a little bit. But I want to conclude the next couple of moments just bringing it together on all the occasions that we've mentioned here. The Chacham Tzvi has a tshuva on this topic, and he says that when the Gemara says that only at age 20 does a person become responsible, that's really only in Agadata. It's a lighter and approach almost like a Medrash type of approach, but the halacha we don't hold like that at all. That's how he says. The difference between an agadic approach and a halachic approach. But the halacha we know, like we said, he says even mina shemayim, that doesn't mean that person's off the hook till 20. There are gemaras that talk about such things, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's hard and fast. Really, from age 13 is when a person is fully responsible. That's the chacham, so he has that extreme. I tell you, the Chassam Sofer already says that person it is pending. There is a reprieve, but it's just pending, and still person is 20. Now, here are a couple to bring the loose ends together. I want to go through the cases which we found, and I want to point out how to understand each one, I think in a comprehensive fashion. Sarah Imenu, we know, was not capable of having children. She was an islander. She was barren. And it was a miracle that she was able to have children, not only when her youth was rejuvenated, not only that, but she was not even capable of having children earlier at all. She had to have her name changed from Sarai to Sarah. She was a new person. Then she was a person who was able to, even Avram Avinu was not capable of having children. Not capable, not even not having children. He was not capable. His name was Avram to Abraham, and his zodiac changed. There were a lot of changes, and they became capable. The halacha is that even though a person becomes responsible at age 13 or 12, that's only provided two things happen. Number one, they become of age. Number two, they achieve puberty. But without that, if the signs, there's no physical signs of a person becoming mature, they do not become bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, until age 20. And then age 20, even without those signs, then they become a gadol. So it could be that what we found by Avsar Aminu is not at all a rule about age 20. It's about she personally was an islandese. So of course she was without chait till age 20 because she was a katana. She was a minor, according to the halacha. That would be even true today, by the way. If a person doesn't have any signs, there's something physical, they would not be able to be counted as a minion or whatever women do, that they have to be a gadola. It would not be until age 20. That's the cutoff without those physical signs. So Sarah Imenu didn't have those signs, so that's why 20. Doesn't mean that no one gets punished till age 20, but Sarah Imenu specifically. Now, as far as the Machaz is a shekel. Why 20? Above age 20. So this was an opportunity to count the people. Lipkudehem. And it was also towards the army, starting at age 20. So specifically, we were looking at the youth. Not because they're not b'nei mitzvah. Not their chayv mitzvahs. They're not b'nei baronshim. It could very well be their baronshim. But the reason why 20 was selected, as far as collecting the shkolim, is the shkolim at that time specifically was used in order to count the people, specifically Kol Yotzei Tzava Yisrael. The 13 years are not going to go out there to war. So because we're looking only for those who are going to the army, that's why age 20 was selected. And it's not a general rule that 20 is a cutoff for B'nai Mitzvah. Bar Mitzvah is definitely a cutoff for obligation and mitzvah. But it's 20 is a cutoff for those who are going out to the army. Now, as far as the ones in the desert who listen to the bad reports, the evil report of the spies, once again, we're talking about people who are looking to go to Eretz Yisrael and set up households, to establish their homestead, in order to build cities. When you take the cross population, and you're going to now head to Eretz Yisrael to now become a country and build a land, you're not talking about the children, 13, 14, 15. I mean, they're good taters, they're good schleppers. But the heads of the family, the men, that starts at age 20, and perhaps that's why I went up to 60 also. Because by that time, those are the ones who are the providers. The other ones are dependents. Below 20 is a dependent. Above 60, to a certain extent, is not necessarily one who is a breadwinner, necessarily going out to work. At that point, they're retired, so to say, the golden years. Even in the Torah, that's why it's 20 to 60. Not because 60 became irresponsible or not for what he does. The reason is 20 to 60, because those are the ones who are going to be building the land. And those are the ones who gave up on their destiny and gave up on, and when the miraglim, the message was directed at them, not the ones below 20, not the ones above 60. So again, I want to veer away and I say that each case here, actually, instead of developing a pattern, each one in their own really was a reason why 20 was a cutoff in their own, in each case. So, but they do say 18. I was talking to someone yesterday, and they actually told me that 20 is really because age 18, they get engaged, and the engagement in the Torah and the Gemara was 1 year, and they get married in their 20th year. You know, when you turn 20, you complete your 20th year. Your 20th birthday is when you complete your 20th year. So 19 to 20 is your 20th year. You understand? When a baby's 1 year old, he's one. He finished one, right? So when a person turns 20, they finish 20. So the 20th year was 19 to 20. So someone said, actually, even though the Mishnah says 18 is for marriage, it really means until the 20th year. Okay. And I just want to conclude with Rabbi Ryan. Huh? Yeah, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Reisman, who is a famous Navi Shir in the East, he talked about this topic a couple years ago. At one point, I just want 30 seconds, and we'll conclude with this. He suggested another approach, as he says, a compromise, whether it's technically legal, a legal concept, whether it's only agadic. He wants to say 20 usually indicates years of experience. He even found a comment that says, a chassan, the first 20 years he's married, he gets a pass on many things. I guess I mean the kalo also.
Oh, wow.
And a rabbi, he found who was first a rabbi for 20 years, you can let him go. You know why? Because he says it's an excuse. It's a decent excuse. Listen, you got to excuses. You still got to beg and kick. You know, and say, please excuse me and explain why it's an excuse. But it is part of the cheshbon. It is part of the calculation. It's reasonable. It's understandable. A person that's at least fully experienced doesn't necessarily know all of the turns. So, if a person the first 20 years he's in a new career, so to say, you hold him responsible. But it's understandable if he has an excuse that he wasn't fully aware of what happened. So even a Kodesh Baruch Hu knows for the first 20 years, there's a reason why. It's a good excuse. And that's why we're willing to let it go. If a person then understands it and says, you know what, excuse me, I'm sorry. I learned my lesson. And it's, you know, it's reasonable to listen to such a thing. Mm-hmm. All right, we should be zocha that we should not only talk about the Machaz and Sashakal, we should zocha to be giving it. And Yerushalayim Habnuyah B'mehir B'yameinu. Thank you for coming and thank you for listening.
Hey. Right from Iran.
Yeah. Excuses only go so far. That's right.
One thing I've learned is that the Rabbi Rand students have no excuse to say they didn't do their homework or they didn't study enough for their Gemara test because they're not 20 years old. And the other thing I learned too is that I tell my father, I joke with him that he's 64, Kanayin Ahara. I said, one more year, you can get the discount. I said, they should make it 60. And then everybody, and I think in Canada it's 60. So, what's 55? Oh, 55. Oh, very good. So, thank you all for coming. Thank you, Rabbi Rand. Really insightful, amazing, amazing sheer insights into 20. Next week, we'll be hearing from Rabbi Schumann. Rabbi Schumann will be here on Thursday. We're going to get into the topics of Pesach and topics of the Agada and the Seder night. It should really be very, very interesting, and you may want to take notes to use it during your own Pesach Seder. And then hopefully the following week we'll have Rabbi Twersky to talk about the interesting minhagim and chumras that go on Pesach. Thank you all for coming, and have a good Shabbos, and we'll see you hopefully next week. Okay.